So we have been talking about immunity through uncommon standards, and we have been using Daniel as an example, and we did several sessions regarding Daniel, how Daniel chose and was determined not to defile himself together with his friends with the food of Babylon. We spoke about the 10 days of how he had selected to fast, or rather to not eat the food of Babylon, but eat vegetables and drink water. We spoke about his consistency while he was there. We spoke last week of the excellence of Daniel, and more especially the excellent spirit that Daniel had, and this is displayed in the more excellent way. And there are many other issues of Daniel that we can talk about: how he chose to worship his God only, how to maintain the right posture, etc. But I felt that those 5 points that we shared with you over the last coming, or the, over the last few weeks, would suffice to explain how we can be immunized in Babylon when we live by certain principles. Now, today I want to talk to you about immunity through the principle of honor, immunity through the principle of honor. So, several years ago, we did an entire series on the eternal principle of honor. These teachings are still available, and several aspects of honor that we covered: the aspect of honor to your family, the aspect of honor in your workplace, and many aspects of honor we covered. You have to see honor as an uncommon standard. You have to see honor as something that must be an uncommon standard that must be seen in our lives. Now, such honor will give us immunity in several aspects of life. We are living in a period where honor is no longer practiced because of self-glorification, independence, self-preservation. People no longer see the need to honor and show respect. In 1 Peter 2:17, the Bible says, "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." The context of 1 Peter 2:17 is about honoring those that are in authority, or any ordinance of man, or those that are placed in authority. But Peter is saying to his fellow brethren that you should honor all people, and to love the brotherhood and to honor the king. Now, basically, honor should be a way of life for the sons of God. Joseph honored his parents or his father. He honored his employer, Potiphar, and we know how he honored him by not sleeping with his wife, by making sure that all his property and all his goods were well taken care of. So he showed honor to his employer. He showed honor even when he was in prison to those that were in charge of him, the prison guards, etc. Excuse me. So he showed a level of honor even to his captors. He even showed great honor to Pharaoh when he eventually came into power, in that he was in charge of Pharaoh's household, Pharaoh's goods and wealth, and also second in charge of all of Egypt. So honor must be a way of life for the sons of God. John 8:49, Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." Now, in the Greek, there are a few words that talk about honor, but one of the most important words is the word timao, timao, and it simply means to fix a valuation upon something, or to give value, or to estimate the value of something. So when you talk about honor, it is to fix a value on someone. It is to basically weigh out that person, or to to estimate how weighty is this person. That is why in the Old Testament, the word for honor is the word kabad, where we get the word for kabod, which is the word glory. So, and glory is about weightiness. So when we give honor to someone, it is because we have discerned the weightiness of that person, or we have discerned the value of that person in our lives. Too often, people only value someone when they are dead. This is when you want to give flowers, you want to pay for the funeral, you want to pay for the hearse, you want to pay for the food, and you want to do all the stuff when the person is no longer around. But honor to that person should be when they are alive, because you have discerned the value of that person. You have discerned the weight of that person. You have come to understand that this person is someone that is of great value in my life. So we can start by honoring those that are around us every day, and it would begin with honor our parents. Honor to our parents. Do two aspects of honor today. One is honor to biological parents, those that you regard as your spiritual parents or mentors or pastors in your life. John 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. So here's what you need to understand. Honor is a command from God. Honor is part of the Ten Commandments. And it's the only command. So honor your father and mother as the Lord God has commanded you, and this is the reward, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Ephesians 6 verse 1 to 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, there's honor to your mother and your father, and then there's parents in the Lord. For this is right, excuse me, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And the promise was that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. The Hebrew word, as I mentioned, for honor is kabad, which means to be weighty or heavy. When, excuse me, when we value, when we value our parents, we are promised two things: wellness and longevity. And this is the first commandment with promise. Now, let me give you some biblical examples of those that showed honor to their parents. In 1 Samuel 22, verse 3, then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me. So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Now David at this time was a fugitive, excuse me. And while he was on the run, he considered the well-being of his parents, his father and his mother. And even though he was in territory, in Moabitic territory, he brought them to the king of Moab, and basically he ensured that they were taken care of while he was still a fugitive. And while he was running from cave to cave and wilderness to wilderness, he did not want his parents to go through that. He did not want them to suffer and spend time him in difficult places, so he ensured their well-being. And he, by doing this, he displayed to us the principle of honoring your parents. And when he told the king of Moab to take care of his parents, because he did not want them to struggle as he would be struggling because he was on the run, You can see that he was enacting the principle of honor. Now, when he did that, you see that later on, the promise of he will be well with you and you will live long was seen in David's life. That when David became king, when his territory was increasing, all that he desired was available to him because he had enacted the principle of honor to his parents. So it was well with him, and he also lived long. So you see, in your stronghold times, in your cave times, in your wilderness times, in the times when you are still in your preparation towards dominion, you are still in the formative phase of your kingship, you are still in the early phases of becoming a person of influence and becoming a person of impact and becoming a person that will be effective in society. This principle of honor to the parents must be seen in your life. Now, I have watched many people as a minister in my life. I have watched how people have spoken to their parents. I have watched how people have treated their parents. I have watched how people have dishonored their parents, and I've seen the demise that has befallen them. I've seen what happened to Absalom when he dishonored David. You will hang from the tree, and a javelin will be thrown into you because you will hang between heaven and earth. You will be in a place of indecision because of dishonor. I can give you many examples within the scriptures of people that did not honor their parents. But look at the value, look at the weight, look at the of the reward when we honor our parents. And part of it is immunity. Part of it is immunity. That even though we face challenges and we face trying times in our lives, God looks at this promise that he made with this commandment, that when we honor our parents, our mother and our father, that he remembers what he said, that he would, it will be well with you and that you would live long. So you can see that David came to the fulfillment of his promise and his kingship because in the initial phases of his development, he made sure that he showed honor to his parents. Look at Elisha. In the book of 1 Kings 19, verse 19 and 20, so he departed from there. This is Elijah. And he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him, threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again. For what have I done to you?" Now, what was on the mind of Elisha before he pursued the mantle of Elijah, before he would run after Elijah, before he realized the great responsibility that would come upon him as he would pursue the mantle of Elijah? He wanted to honor his mother and his father. He wanted to go back to kiss his mother and his father, and we all know that he took a yoke of oxen, he slaughtered them, he prepared a meal, he fed the community, he fed the people around him, and obviously he honored his mother and father, and then he pursued Elijah. Now, Elisha would later receive the double portion that was upon Elijah. He would become a very successful prophet that would be giving counsel to many, many kings later on and giving them wisdom. And all this started because of the principle of honor, that he showed honor to his parents before he pursued the mantle of Elijah. You can see again that it was well with Elisha. And even during the times of famine, you would find that Elisha was taken care of simply because he had done something first. He had honored his parents, he had made sure that before he pursued the mantle, this is what he did. Now, while we follow spiritual fathers, and listen to me very carefully this morning, while you follow spiritual fathers, it must not cause you to disrespect your biological parents. I find often that people, when they are pursuing the grace of a spiritual father, and we have mountains of teachings on how to pursue the grace of the one that is sent from God, and I will touch a bit on it later on. But remember that you still must respect your parents that have brought you onto the earth. Yes, Jesus said you must leave your mother and father, but he did not mean you must abandon them. He did not mean that you must leave them destitute. You still have to show them honor. Because remember, even when Jesus was on the cross in John 19, verse 25, now they stood by the cross, Jesus, his mother. Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So basically, there were quite a few Marys there. It was quite a Mary situation. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, that was John, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Because Jesus, who would die, resurrect, and then be ascended to the Father, what was he establishing for us? A principle of honor, that even in his death, he ensured the well-being of his mother. He ensured that she was taken care of. Now, this is something that I have labored on a lot in many messages. And I keep encouraging young people not to sow the wrong seeds when you are young. Show honor to your parents. Now, some of you may say to me, "I have many reasons to be angry with my parents. My father is a drunkard. My mother abandoned us. My father is a serial. You know, he's had multiple affairs. My parents are drug addicts, etc., etc." You can give me a whole range of excuses as to why you should not honor your parents because of many things that they have done to you. But I am giving you an eternal principle which has to go beyond your feelings and your emotions. That despite the crises that we often face of abandonment in life, and many challenges that we face in life, when the eternal principle of honor is established, it will be well with you and you will live long. You will live long. Some people never make right with their parents. Parents are gone on. The parents have passed on. And they have never made right with them. They have never resolved their issues. And they struggle in life. Later on, they find that their own children become very disrespectful to them, very rebellious, because you have sown a seed. But you need to know how to build immunity in your home through the principle of honor. So here's a few practical things that I've covered before with regards to honor to your biological parents. Get their blessings for your marriage. It is not good for those who are getting married without the blessing of your parents. Samson understood this in Judges 14, verse 1 to 4. Samson went down to Timnah and he saw a woman there, the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his mother and father, saying, "I have seen this woman in Timnah of the daughters of Philistine. Now therefore, get her for me as a woman." His father said to him, "Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren?" And Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." But his father and mother did not know that this was from the Lord. The Bible will tell you that they did not agree with the decision, but it was from the Lord because God was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. But Samson, when he wanted to marry a Philistine, he wanted the blessing of his parents. So in your life, those of you that are going to get married, some of you may be young at the moment and your hormones are running wild and you're looking for that boyfriend or that girlfriend. But don't forget that you need to receive the blessing of your parents. Number two, speak to your parents with respect and love. Don't give them advice too quickly. They've been around far longer than you. Yes, you may know how to open a WhatsApp account and how to handle a Facebook account and how to handle an Instagram account and how to do many things that maybe parents didn't grow up with, or technology that they did not grow up with. But let me tell you, they've been around a long time and they know a good thing when they see it, and they know a bad thing when they see it. They've been through many experiences. So talk to your parents with respect and love. Don't think that you know everything. No, they can give you advice. Job 32, verse 6, Elihu, the son of the Buzite, answered and said, "I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore, I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and the multitude of years to teach wisdom." We need a few Elihus around that can understand how to appreciate the wisdom of our parents. Thirdly, take an offering to them daily. Genesis 45, when Joseph heard of his father's, that his father was still alive, he made sure that he would provide for him and take care of him, even sent an offering to him. And he heard that he was alive, he sent many camels to ensure the well-being of his father. By Genesis 47, then Joseph provided his father and brothers with bread according to the number of their families. So when we have the resources, make sure we are taking care of our parents, even when offering on this, make sure that you are giving offering to your parents. Don't criticize them. Don't be judgmental of them. Don't give your religious jargon to them. You must try and convict them through your lifestyle, through your generosity, through your care, through your love, by showing them honor. I know many parents that have turned around because their children who were in the faith showed honor to them. They showed respect to them. They did not criticize and judge them. At the same time, you must stand up for your faith without being disrespectful. You must be able to not bow down to Baal as Gideon had to choose to do without being disrespectful to your parents. Pray for them that through your lifestyle, they can change, they can come to the Lord. Visit your parents regularly. Parents miss their grandchildren. They miss their parents. They miss their children. As they get older, they just want to see their grandchildren from time to time. They just want to see their children. You can ask a parent, what do they want for their birthday? What do they want for their 50th anniversary? And they'll tell you, "I just want to be with my children. I just want to see my grandchildren in their old age." That's what they want. So give honor to your parents by visiting them from time to time. Take care of them when they are sick. Ensure their well-being. In Matthew 8, verse 14, when Jesus had come to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with fever. So he touched her hand and the fever left, and she arose and served them. Peter was ensuring that his mother-in-law was taken care of while she was sick. And so when Jesus visited, he touched her and she received healing. And he ensured her well-being. You should be taking a medical aid for your parents. If they cannot afford it, take one for them so that they can receive good treatment in this difficult time. I remember when my mom was diagnosed with dementia, Alzheimer's, when she was diagnosed with Parkinson's, it was a very difficult time for us. Many of you do not know the struggles we went through. We had to make a decision to put her in an old age home where she could receive the kind of care that she needed. It came at a very, very great cost. But I was willing to make that sacrifice. I was willing to pay that because I wanted to ensure her well-being. Many of the blessings that I see in my life, even my sister and my brother, many of the blessings that they see in their life is because we showed honor to my mother when she was alive and tried to take care of her as best as we can. So I can give you many, many other practical examples of things that we need to do to honor our parents. But by now you should know what you have to do, that if you want it to be well with you. Listen, if you are facing some struggles in your life, ask yourself, how do you treat your parents? I get really upset with some of my spiritual sons sometimes when I hear how they speak to their parents. I might have disagreed with my mom on many things, but I never disrespected her when I spoke to her. In your life, be respectful. Speak with grace. Speak with your words being salted. I cannot understand how a person can swear their parents, use vulgar language. That is not accepted. That is not an accepted value in the kingdom of God. So if you are in those categories, please change your ways, because your end will be very bad. You will not, you will reap things that you think you will not reap. So we must change our ways. Many people, the struggles that they face is because they do not show honor to their parents. Now, while we honor our biological parents, we must also honor our parents in the Lord. And this would be regarded as your spiritual parents, your pastors, people that give you doctrine, people that are overseers in your life. In Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now you can see this is a different reward. The first reward is it will be well and that you will live long. This is honor to your biological parents, but honor to the Lord is a little different. Your barns will be filled with plenty. This is where you get an overflow. And your vats will overflow with new wine. And when you talk about barns being filled with plenty and vats being filled with new wine, you are talking about God's blessing that flows in your life. So economic immunity is reliant on honor. It is dependent on honor. If we want our barns to be filled and our vats to be filled, we must honor the Lord. Now you cannot see the Lord because the Lord is only present with us in spirit. But we can see the representative of the Lord. That's why Jesus said to Philip, he said to him in John 49, "Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?" So Jesus was a representation of the Father. In Matthew 10:40, Jesus said, "He who receives you," as he spoke to his disciples, he said, "receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me." So in effect, when you receive the one whom God sends, you are receiving the Father. Paul was received as an angel of God, Galatians 4:14. "And my trial which was in my flesh you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." So you're saying to the Galatian church, this is the way you received me. So when we honor the one that is sent by God, we honor the Lord. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 4, all of us are very familiar with the portion of scripture regarding how Elisha was honored by the Shunammite woman. And she saw Elisha passing by every day. She said, "This is a holy man of God." And she, together with her husband, decided that they wanted to make him comfortable. So they built an upper room. They put a chair, they put a table, they put a bed. And we covered this previously in how to craft an upper room environment. But here, this was an environment, this was set up for Elisha, for his well-being, for his rest, so that whenever he passes by, he could just stop by and he could rest in this upper room that the Shunammite woman, together with her husband, built for him. So basically, by building this upper room, she placed Elisha above them and she showed honor to Elisha. Now, she wanted to ensure Elisha's well-being and his rest, and therefore she built this upper room. And as a family, they regarded Elisha as one that would deposit grace into their lives, because she recognized that he was a holy man of God. Now, the Bible encourages us to give honor where honor is due. And even when Paul was writing to Timothy, his son, He said in 1 Timothy 5 verse 17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those, and listen carefully, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. One of the roles of a father in your life, a spiritual father, pastor, or the one of the fundamental role, let me put it this way, the main role is that they should be delivering to you the word and doctrine. That's what you honor a father for. And you just, and the Bible says they are worthy of double honor, especially if they labor in the word and doctrine. That's the word that you live by. Okay? And it is important for you to understand that. We do not honor fathers just because they fulfill our emotional needs and because they are there to do our weddings and do our Thanksgiving services and do our funerals. One of the most important things that you honor a father for is that they give you the word and doctrine. These words are what you live by. Many of you have never visited you. I've never been in your house. I've never come to see you in your home. And I may never do that till the day I die. But the word that we deliver to you is what you should be living by. The doctrine that we deliver to you is what your life must be built upon. Paul would speak to many churches, but he would never go there. The church in Colossae, he never visited. And even when he went to certain churches, he would only be there for a period of time, and then they would only see him 3 years later. In the interim, they were living by the letters that he wrote to them. He was living by the doctrine that he delivered to them. These were the disciples that were drawn to him because of the word and the doctrine. So when you honor one who is a spiritual father, you are honoring them because they are giving you the word and doctrine. This is the reason that you honor them. Now, when this woman honored Elisha, certain things happened in her life. And look at the immunity she received. Remember, our subject is about immunity through the principle of honor. Number one, when she showed honor to Elisha, he called her and he told her, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. Now, she did not have children, or she could not have children because her womb was barren. But the moment she honored Elisha, the moment she wanted to ensure the well-being of Elisha, barrenness was broken in her life. This means that she could now have a legacy. She could now have something to pass down. Her inheritance could be passed down. Her estate could be passed down because she now had a son. I have seen many people, even in our local church, our own church, I won't be afraid to even mention names, people like Julian and Verna that were struggling to have a child. And I can tell you, Julian and Verna have showed great honor to us over the years. From the time that I first met him in Richards Bay many, many years ago, when he first heard the word and his spirit leaped. And when he came to Durban, he searched us out, he found us. And when he was getting married, he consulted with us. And when he was making a big decision to even take care of Navi and to look after him, he consulted with us. And I can tell you that because of honor, God heard. That's why we named his son Samuel. God heard. And Samuel was born after all these years. Why? Because of the principle of honor. Eileen and Lionel are on this call. They were struggling. They could not have a child. They really struggled. But because of honor. Because of the principle of honor. Anna was born. God showed them favor. Favor. So, barrenness, and barrenness can apply to many areas of your life, not just barrenness of the womb. Sometimes many aspects of our lives can be barren. You can be barren in terms of revelation of the word. You can be barren in terms of relationships. You can be barren financially. But I tell you, when the principle of honor is enacted in your life, the grace will come into you that you cannot explain. I can give you testimonies of my own life, many testimonies of how, because I have honored my spiritual parents for more than 15 years of my life, faithfully honored them, I've seen the hand of God. I've seen nations break open, spiritual sons become a part of our family. I saw barrenness, all our debt being paid. I saw many things happen. I can give you many, many things. Sickness leave my body. Why? Because of honor. Because of honor. Now, this same son that she had, while he was in the field, his head began to pain and he fell and he died. And in 2 Kings 4, verse 20, they brought the child into the upper room and laid him on the bed of Elisha. The Bible says in 2 Kings 4, verse 20, when he had taken him and brought him into his mother, sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. She went and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. And in 2 Kings 4, 32, Elisha came and he laid upon the son. He saw him lying there, put his mouth to him, he touched him, and life came back to this boy. You see, when honor is in your life, anything that is dead will come to life. Even that which you love so much, even that which you waited for so many years, when it is taken from you, will come back to life because of honor. Now, here's what's happening. The grace keeps working. It's just working and working and working all the time. It's working because of honor. Later on, Elisha would warn her of an impending famine. 2 Kings 8. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son had been restored. He said, "Arise, go, you and your household, stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and it will come upon the land for 7 years." That means she was warned in advance of a famine that would take place. So she went and lived in the land of the Philistines for 7 years so that she would not be affected by the famine. So you see, in your honor, you will get warnings of impending danger. You'll become more perceptive. In other words, God will protect you from certain things because of honor. Many of you, you didn't lose your job. Many of you, your businesses have survived COVID. And I'll tell you why. It's because of honor. It's because of the principle of honor. Some of you were very, very sick, but you are still alive. Mike is on this call. He's alive for 9 years. Why? Honor. I can tell you it's honor. I've never visited Mike's house and left without an offering. He didn't need to do that. And even though his body is riddled with all kinds of sicknesses and he has been through chemotherapy and whatever it is, but man, he's still alive. He's here today. And I'll tell you why. It's because of honor. His wife, his family, all of it, because of honor. Don't ever deny this principle. Don't ever think that this principle does not work. No, it'll immunize you. My friend, listen to me today. This is a secret. I'm giving you a secret. No book contains this. The Bible is giving you an eternal principle of immunity for your life. When you enact this principle, you will see some unusual things take place. Now, here's what's so unusual that happened to this lady. After 7 years of famine, after she left her land, she left her house, she went into Philistine territory to be protected. After 7 years, she returned. And when she returned, Elisha spoke to the king. And in 2 Kings 8, verse 6, and when the king asked the woman, she told him, so the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until now. Everything was restored. Listen, anything that was stolen from you, taken from you, will be restored because of honor. Contracts that were stolen from you will come back to you because of honor. When you honor the servant of God, your barns will be filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. I'm not going to go into how you honor. That's a separate subject altogether. But you should know that honor to the servant of the Lord is about your tithe. It's about your offering. It's about your first fruit. It's about your time. It's about your sacrifice. It's about connecting with meetings. It's about being there. It's about supporting. It's about lifting up the hands of people that God sends. I'm not asking you to worship servants of God. No. I'm not asking you to idolize them. No. The people that know me, they know that I'm just an ordinary guy. I don't ask for anything. But I know about honor. That's one thing you can ask me about that, and I'll tell you about it. I can talk to you about it for hours and hours and hours. Because I've seen it work in my life for more than 15 years. I have a history with honor. And I want everyone in our local church to be beneficiaries of the principle of honor. You can only have that when you learn how to honor those that are sent by God. Now, as I close, honor will bring breakthrough in your life. 1 Samuel 2 verse 30. Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. How do you honor the Lord? You honor the Lord by honoring those whom he sent. The centurion servant was healed because the centurion showed honor to Jesus. He said, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. He placed value on it. The Canaanite woman's child was healed because she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the table. She showed honor to the Lord. The woman in the house of Simon was saved because she broke the alabaster jar. She showed honor to the Lord. Anna conceived Samuel because she showed honor to Eli. He said, my Lord. The Shunammite woman, as I mentioned, was delivered from barrenness, had her estate returned, a son was restored to life, all because of honor. Fishermen became apostles because of honor. Timothy and Titus functioned as apostles because of their honor as sons to Paul, their spiritual father. Breakthroughs are deeply connected to honor. You want immunity in your life? Factor this in. Factor this aspect into your life. Build it into your life. All the young people listening to me on this call today, all the young children, you're listening to me. Take my advice as a spiritual father in the faith to you. Start today. Show honor to your parents. Your biological parents. Love them. Respect them. Show honor to those whom you call spiritual parents in your life by praying for them, supporting them, financially supporting them, lifting up their hands, etc. Do what the Shunammite woman did. And I guarantee you, you will have a breakthrough you've never seen before. I trust that even as you have heard this message today, that you would realize that I shared with you a principle that can change your life forever. Your life can be altered today, 25th of April, 2021. Can be a serious change for your life. All you have to do is begin to build the eternal principle of honor into your life. The Lord bless you. May his grace be upon you. Amen.